how do you train our congregations? How do I get involved as a pastor? And he turned to us and he said, hey, I heard you guys have this little collaborative that's getting together monthly, and could you help me train the churches? So this literally started out as a dream to maybe get 100 people in a room and start to talk about church engagement. And so really, then as things took off with the Freedom Summit, we wanted to keep it at the core. Instead of saying, hey, let's see who's at the conference and we'll have a discussion afterwards, we said, let's put the discussion in the conference and make it a breakout session. So here we are today. I am Betty Amboving and founder of the Bay Area Anti-Trafficking Coalition. I also attend Menlo Park Presbyterian for the last 10 years, and we are so excited to be here. One of the things is that in our little Bay Area Anti-Trafficking Coalition meetings we've been having, we already have a representation of at least 12 to 13 different churches and a bunch of different ministries. And so on a very practical level, there is an invitation to carry this conversation forward as a group moving on. I know that all of your time is very precious, but we are realizing, as I mentioned last night, that it is just good to be together. There is so much that our communities want to do online and virtually, but honestly, in this fight and asking what it means to really understand the issues to be able to mobilize together as the body of Christ, it is very important that we actually prioritize meeting together. So you will hear us today mention a couple times and a couple ideas we have for gatherings together. The Church Collaborative for a Slave-Free Bay Area, we realize so many things that we have in our society are about what we're not, you know, that we want to be against things and we want to fight against things. But we really wanted this collaborative to be about what we're actually for, and that's for a slave-free Bay Area. So many times, I think, especially young folks in our congregation, they want to go global real quick, right? They want like a big solution, and they wanted it to be done yesterday. And the reality is we're actually just saying, what could we do as the body of Christ here in the Bay Area? And as all of you know, working down the street from even churches that might be just a couple blocks from you, it's really hard to see what we could all come to the table about to really fight together. And quite honestly, from my 8 years of being involved in this issue, there is no doubt that if we go off and all do our own things, there's no doubt that God's hand will be upon that. But it is powerful what happens when we actually come together and talk around the table. So for instance, even in getting the word out about this collaborative meeting today, we sent an email blast out to over 650 churches, and that went on to an overall 4,000 pastors. And that is just in California alone. We've had pastors calling us from Florida, people emailing us from overseas saying, we'd love to know what you're doing. And our response has been, we're trying to figure out as a region how we respond. And quite honestly, as I just kind of open us up in a word of welcome, I would love to say that as someone who has been teaching a class for the last 4 years that we call God and Justice, a Journey, how to keep social justice issues in front of you when you're living in the suburbs, you know, when you're having these global issues of injustice that you might hear about on the news, but really in your day-to-day life, you might not be seeing those issues. We have been seeing that people want tangible ways in which they can walk and lean into this issue and that they can make a difference. And I think one of the best ways to do that is not to have everybody in our congregation say, go figure it out for yourselves maybe, but to have churches coming together to say, here's some organizations that we know are vetted, that are really good groups, that if people raise money for them, we know that money's going to the right place. There is something happening in the human trafficking world right now where there are even people who are coming forward as victims saying, I was a human trafficking victim, and their stories are not checking out. So I really don't want to say that by way of skepticism, but by way of saying there is something about coming together with professionals in the field where we are actually learning of what we're learning from what they've already learned from this point. So one of the things that we would like to stress as we look into the goals of this collaborative is that we really would love to equip you as the heads of your ministries and of your churches to be able to have answers for those people in your congregation who are coming to you. But we also would love to invite you into the journey. So what does that mean for us to maybe get together once a quarter? And we would actually have an action, reflection, action model. And that would be that actually in our meetings, we would move it around the Bay Area where we might have a peninsula meeting and then a North Bay and then an East Bay and South Bay. So that one time if you can't make it to one meeting or it's, we wanted to actually not have one church own this. So in its very nature, it is collaborative in spirit. If it goes on from here, it's because all of you really sense a call to join us in it. And so it really is a collaborative in the very true sense of the word. And we just feel that this is a justice issue that is actually helping the church really address evangelism in our world today. I mean, it is an issue where the church is really leading the way. I mean, people in the communities that I speak with, people that attend a church, they might not exactly know what they might want to do as an individual response, but they say, I know about the issue, and I know that this matters to God, and it should matter to me. So we're already ahead of the curve in terms of where we are stepping in to try and fight this injustice. And I would encourage us to try and consider staying ahead of the curve in terms of what God is doing in that to then bring people into the fold to even just consider God's love for them and God's love for the world. So I've said enough, but I would love to bring folks of our collaborative up here to help share again more of the vision. We're going to start with Mark Swarner from Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, just sharing one church's vision on what's been happening over the last year as a marker of showing that a lot of this work in anti-trafficking, like Sarah Grove said last night, of embracing the long defeat. That word defeat's a little bit hard for me, but it is a long fight. Because I do know that God has the victory in this, and just by what we have seen from this conference, there is no doubt the Spirit of God is here with us, alive and moving, and we are so grateful to just get out of the way and watch God work. So we've invited Mark to share, but after Mark speaks, we're going to have two other groups come up and just share about some of their experience of both talking to pastors in the Bay Area about the need that is for some kind of collaborative around trafficking, and then about how to engage congregation and just what it looks like to maybe have a bit of this move forward in your own congregation. That's about all I have to say at this point. So Mark, why don't you come on up here? We are getting tape so that you can get a copy of this for anyone who you hoped would be in the room or is not. So we will keep it in mind.
All right.
I just want to say again, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Betty Ann. And Betty Ann is our rock star who has coordinated this whole thing. So, well, I just want to share with you for a few minutes, a little bit about Menlo Park Presbyterian Church's journey, how we came to where we are right now this weekend, and a little bit about my vision and the vision of the Bay Area Anti-Trafficking Coalition, which is really hard to say. But of what this could mean, and especially getting more into what Betty Ann was talking about how can the church lead the way? And how can something like the issue of human trafficking be something that God will use to unite our congregations and places of worship in some new ways, where sometimes it's really, frankly, hard for churches to figure out how to work together. It's sometimes easier to do it overseas than it is with our own neighbors and our own community, for whatever reason. But thank you for being here. I really believe that the most significant things that are going to come out of this weekend are going to come out of the people in this room. Because you are the people who are leaders, influencers in your churches, in your communities, and the people who can help take what happens this weekend and see that ripple out throughout the Bay Area and create something that is not just about a weekend, it is about an ongoing network, a movement that could be huge. A little bit about our journey. We started out as a church 6 or so years ago with an initiative in Ethiopia. And we thought, we'll work a lot with some indigenous ministries in Ethiopia. And one of the three teams that were formed was a justice team. And one of the organizations in Ethiopia that this justice team worked with was a group called El Ta. And it's a small ministry in Addis Ababa that reaches out to reintegrate women who've been victims of sex trafficking in Ethiopia. And I think that was the beginning of opening the eyes of people in our congregation about this issue and ways that we can respond. And over time, we kind of said, you know what, but it's great. It's halfway around the world. But maybe there's something, how does this become something that we can live into closer to home? And so the call and response film, did some of you get a chance to see that last night if you hadn't seen it before? Great rockumentary. We showed that at one of our venues at Menlo Park about a year and a half ago. We were expecting a few hundred people to show up. We're like, we'll just put an advertisement out, say, hey, come check out this film. We had more than 800 people. It was raining. It was dark. We had people waiting outside in umbrellas for like multiple showings, and it was just a chaos. And, you know, we were totally overwhelmed. And so I thought, you know, well, maybe God's trying to say something here. You know, my job, vision isn't created, it's discovered. And our job as leaders in the church is to figure out what God is doing and how we can get in on it. And I thought, well, maybe God's doing something here and I should probably start paying attention. So our work in trafficking was not a top-down. It wasn't, you know, me as a mission pastor saying, you know, gang, this is the thing. We're all going to do this. Laser focus. You know, let's go after it, everybody, and rally the troops. This is recognizing that there was a lot of energy in our young adults, in our high school students, among others, in our community. And we thought, well, what if we name that? And so we thought, well, we're going to try an offering. We have an Easter offering every year that we designate to different causes. And we said, well, what if we say this Easter offering is all going to go to organizations on human trafficking and see how the congregation responds and kind of get a feel for, is there some energy here? We set a target for our church of $250,000, which we thought, given the economy, was a little bit aggressive. The congregation responded with more than $300,000 in the Easter offering. So we, you know, worked with groups like IJM, Hagar, workplaces in Brazil and Russia, not for sale, call and response. But we set aside, this is a little conversation, Betty Ann and I were just kind of brainstorming about this. And we thought, well, what if we set aside a little bit of money, just a little bit, to get together some people in the Bay Area? And what could happen? And we thought, you know, I don't know, 100 people would come, I don't know. And we said, well, let's do this conference. But because of the generosity of the congregation, we were able to say, okay, we can dream big right now. Let's just go after like the best people we can get to come to this thing. And this is where we are this weekend. So I'm really excited. But basically, you know, the vision coming out of this is part of it is what if? What if the churches can really step ahead and lead the way in this issue? And part of that is I'm thinking, okay, we're in an area where people, you know, like Jesus, but not the church. And can be engaged around justice, but, you know, the thought of what the church is doing, you know, might be, I don't want anything to do with that. But here's an issue where we have to say, you know what, we care about this because Jesus cares about this. Because that narrative that John Ortberg talked about last night of, you know, throughout the Bible, God is in the business of setting people free from bondage of one kind or another. It's throughout the whole Bible, Old and New Testaments, and we need to live that out and be light and shine that light into the darkest places of our communities where people are being bought and sold, and the least of these, my brothers and sisters, are being trampled on. And we have a chance to stand up. So, you know, the vision is not that we've thought through, here's what it's going to look like over the next year or two. I have no idea. I don't. I do not know what the outcome is going to be. My dream was like, let's get the people in this room together and let's start dreaming some dreams. And let's start working together and create a loose enough of a framework that it will create some space where we can get together over time. Those of you who want to continue to be interested in this, whether it's like, hey, I want to start some kind of ministry around this in my church, or we have one, but we're disconnected. You know, if we can start connecting all the dots, well, nobody has to be good at everything. One can say, hey, you know, we work with Freedom House, with this shelter, that's our thing. Another one says, you know, we're really focused on advocacy and working with lawmakers. And if we connect all these dots into this framework, it could be something really powerful. I had the opportunity to be in Cape Town end of last year at the Lausanne Congress. And I was talking with Ram Gidumal, who's on the board. He lives in the UK, he's on the board of IJM. And we were talking about this conference. And he said, what you are doing, you don't know how remarkable this is, that what's happening here this weekend. This is not happening anywhere else to this extent, where it is a truly local collaborative saying, here's this global issue, but what if in this major metropolitan area in the U.S. we could actually work together and say, this is going to be a zero tolerance community and the body of Christ is going to lead the way. And that if it can happen here, I know IJM is really invested in saying, can we figure out then how to replicate something like this in other areas, so that if trafficking becomes something that's just not worth it for people to do in this area and they're just going to go up to Seattle, well, then Seattle can get mobilized and say, you know what, you're not going to have it here either. And, you know, wherever it happens, Las Vegas of all places, maybe even there. But anyway, so thank you for being here. That's really all I have to say is, you know, this is the beginning of a conversation that I hope will continue. And you'll hear some other folks share about some very practical ways to create the space for that conversation to happen and let God do what God does. And I think something is going to come out of it that is far greater than anything I could have imagined or any of us individually could have. But collectively, I sense the Spirit is stirring. So thank you so much for being here and just be willing to be an instrument of God's justice in the Bay Area.
Thanks. By quick way of introduction, I'm just going to bring up Jonetta and Edward. Would love for you to join me up here. Was recently introduced to Jonetta and Edward, and within minutes she said, here's KFAX on the phone. And I went and ran and did an interview with them. So these folks are well connected, but they're amazing. Just blessing of prayer over us as a group has been amazing, and just your presence with us. So please, we'd love for you to share a bit of the need that you have sensed among pastors in the Bay Area.
Hi, my name is Edward Aylesworth, and this is my wife, Jonetta. I guess basically we can say that we are church connectors. And I went away.
He has something to say after me, so you know, he said let her say her stuff, and then yeah, it works good together. A number of years ago I sat in a class that was taught by Chip Ingram. He gave a message to the pastors at that Bass Convention, and the title of it was A Holy Ambition. Because I'm not a pastor, but one of the conference coordinators, I had the privilege of sitting in that class and felt very privileged to hear that message. At one point in the message, he said that the eye of God is roving throughout the earth to see whose heart has a holy ambition. And he asked us, is it you? And it was dead silent. And so he says, I don't think you heard the question because nobody responded. He said, is it you? Now, I'm not a pastor, so I'm ready to throw up both hands. And I'm sitting there sitting on my hands. And he said, you need to think about that. Is it you that God wants with this holy ambition? It became a defining moment for me in deciding the work that I did for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I have shared that over and over again to many people. And this is one of those moments. This is a holy work, mm-hmm, because it's at the heart of God, and it's going to require a holy ambition. And I would say that we are so grateful to have been brought to the table with this team and with you all as pastors and those who are going to encourage your churches to get involved in this holy work with a holy ambition.
How many of you are pastors? God bless you. Thank you for coming. And this is for everyone. But the reason why I ask that, I want the pastor to know your people are going to follow you in what you do. And this is why we need pastors, because they're going to follow you in many members. What are my pastors doing? I feel that if your heart is in this, your hands are going to work. And when you put your hands to work, it will touch your heart. It works. And we're just asking you that, pastors, tell some of your pastor friends about it. Because, see, that's communication between the pastors. They have a way of communicating to each other to follow, because this is a commitment that God is calling people today to do a job that's needed. You would think it would be no slavery, but it is. But we pray that the church will get on fire, the church will make a commitment. We pray that the pastors will make a commitment to bring the people. And once the people see how the pastor has fallen in love with this, and they will come. That's it. Thank you.
You may have noticed the itty-bitty sign in the sanctuary that says Prayer Chapel. Anyway, it's our biggest sign at the conference. And we are going to bring up now Ruby and Leo, who have been leading our prayer ministry for this weekend. But there is no doubt that there was even opposition in the week before this of just crazy things happening in our lives, because we were seeing a few of those little things and going, this conference is going to blow our socks off because of what we've been seeing. But Ruby and Leo are people of prayer, but they also bring us back to the heart of why this matters. And they often tell me, they walk into the room and all these things they come to about human trafficking, and they go, we seem to be the oldest ones in the room. And I said, honestly, they are paving the way. So thank you for being such inspirations to me.
This truly is an honor to be here today. Something that my husband Leo and I could have never even imagined when we started our journey. For the sake of time, we discussed this, and we decided that I would speak. Because if we both spoke, you would never get out of here. So for the sake of time and honoring, I'll be doing the speaking today. But he is an incredibly valuable partner, as I'll explain as we go along. So, you can sit down. I didn't want him standing here the entire time. As I said, it is an incredible honor to be here to kind of describe what the journey has been. We have at Peninsula Covenant Church, where I'm from and where we attend, a freedom ministry team, a bona fide ministry that works under our missions committee. We have a budget and everything. And that was something that I wouldn't have imagined either. Our journey began with Leo and I over 4 years ago, when IJM came to our congregation to talk about human trafficking. And our eyes were opened, and we were very unsettled by that. From that, we went to many conferences, many workshops, but something really set in with us when we met IJM's Elizabeth. Sarah Groves talked about her last night. The survivor, Elizabeth, was at one of our conferences in Berkeley, and we asked the people that were around her, she was very well protected, if we could talk to her. They agreed. Leo and I went up to her, shook her hand, and said, thank you. Thank you for your courage, your faith, and your determination. We left that conference feeling that we'd met hope and redemption. And that really got us started. I cannot even tell you what that did to us. And when we hear the stories of Elizabeth, like Sarah told last night, it just gets us all back up again in that feeling of, yes, that's why we're doing this. Around the same time, we started an association with SAGE. I don't know if many of you know what that is, but it's an organization in San Francisco that deals with survivors. They actually, if a victim escapes, or the police have, or she is identified as a human trafficking victim, SAGE works with that person to get them legal help, medical help, all the kind of help they need, as well as temporary or more secure housing. Working with them led to them coming to us, Leo and I, and asking if we could put a team together that could represent them at other churches. An enormous honor. So we, of course, said yes, not knowing how we were going to do this. In the meantime, we had done a lot of tabling for IJM's cards, abolitionist cards, president cards, the Trafficked Victims Protection Act cards. We had tables and we spoke to as many people as we could. So from the people that came to us and showed interest in the subject, we went to them. And we asked them specifically, would you be interested in? And we got a lot of no's, but we got enough yeses. So SAGE comes down and trains us. We never did get to the churches. We never did go speak to churches. But we grew. We have an amazingly varied age group. We have high school students, college students, young singles, married with children, and then us senior citizens. And it's wonderful to have that diversity because everybody has a different opinion. They have a different way of looking at things. And from that, we have walked with Stop Child Trafficking Now. We have gone to the IJM dinners as a team. We have presented information tables on Human Trafficking Awareness Days. We have spoken to high schools, civic groups, anyone who listened. We've educated ourselves on fair trade, aftercare legislation. We are represented at San Francisco Collaborative Against Human Trafficking, and we're part of the Bay Area Anti-Trafficking Coalition. This is something when I started to put this down, I said, praise God. Who would have known? Who would have known? Now, when I saw that this was really coming together, Betty Ann, could I get some water?
Yeah, sure.
I went to our lead pastor, Gary Gaudini, some of you may know him, and asked for his blessing. He said, absolutely, without question, you go, Rube. But he also said, think big and bring me a house. I'm not a big thinker. I know all the reasons why we can't do stuff, not why we can. Leo is the big thinker. So when I say, I don't think we can do this, he says, why not? But a house? Come on, Gary, get real. A house? Well, we started the journey. It's not been an easy one. Our team has gone on uncharted territory. As far as we know, there really isn't any other type of a ministry of our sort in our area. We were asking everyone at conferences that we went to, do you know anything that's happening on the peninsula? We just want to get in there and know what they're doing so we can join them, not thinking that we would be the leaders to start ministries. That was never our objective. Well, we continue to ask for guidance, wisdom, and discernment. And guess what? We partner with Freedom House. We brought Gary a house. In fact, I just had the great honor at a breakout session before the at the same time as this of introducing Annie Fukushima from SAGE and Kate Kerr from Freedom House. They were so instrumental and continue to be instrumental in our walk, in our journey. Saying all of this, which sounds wonderful, it's not been an easy journey. We've had our ups and we've had our downs. We have a mission statement that still needs to be put together, as well as a logo. But we have great joy and successes as well. When I see these high school students so eager, what can we do? What can we do? And the college students that we've educated and given all of the knowledge to and equipped well, going off to another college to start something there, that's a success. We put out an electronic quarterly newsletter to over 80 subscribers. We have one of our members now in Ghana who works with the City of Refuge and the Boat Children of Lake Volta. She's helping to build a school and teaching and rescuing those children. We have another member who went on a short-term mission there and joined her as well. We have equipped as best as we can. We also have hosted a showing of call and response. And I'm sure I've left out some things, but for the sake of time, putting this together in a span of 5 minutes, what's happened many years, has been a very difficult task. But you don't need to know all the details, you just to know there have been ups and there have been downs. There have been successes and there have been crashes. And we're learning from it. It's an exciting time for us. Our ministry is growing. The interest is growing. But we constantly pray for that wisdom and discernment. We want to make sure that any door that's opened is a door God is opening. Because as we all know, not all doors that are opened by God. So we have to have that discernment and wisdom. So we are in prayer constantly about what we're doing. There are times that Leo and I have wondered, is this really what God wanted from us? But then we remember the survivors we've met along the way. We remember the Elizabeths, Jill Raines, who is here. She has a booth in the Expo Center called Out of Egypt. She is a survivor. If you have a chance, please go meet her. An incredible woman with an incredible story. And the Ming Dangs. We can never forget why we're doing this. I always tell my members, please remember, we cannot get caught up in the business of doing. We have to remember why we're here. We have to remember that we are the voice for those that have no freedom, no rights, and no voice. We must, as Sarah Grove sang a song last night that's become one of my favorites. There's a verse there about Harriet finding the value of her soul. We have to find the value of our souls. We have to move on from that value. So that's our story. That's our journey so far. Excuse me, I'm just losing my voice. That's our journey so far. I thank you for listening. And I praise you all, and I hope that you will go back to your congregations and find those leaders that will take this movement forward. Thank you. Oh, I forgot.
Thank you. As I traveled with the country with Gary Haugen when he would come speak at churches, I found something very interesting. He wrote a book called The Good News About Injustice, which if you have not read it, I think it's one of the best books out there on just looking at biblical justice. But what happened was churches, we actually called them up. We said, hey, you had Gary come speak a year ago. Do you want him to come back? And they went, honestly, we're not ready for him to come back. And really, it was about having a dynamic speaker who you gave the pulpit for the weekend, that God pricked people's heart in a new way, perhaps. And then when he left, it was like there was this vacuum of like, well, what do we do now? And there was kind of nobody ready to take up the charge. And so I'd really encourage you. And then on the other hand, now he's moved on to his third book called Just Courage, which is also about saying, be sure to not just say, have one person in your church that says, I'll handle everything justice, because then people will be listening about issues of injustice in the world. And they'll go, you know what? We have a team for that. And they diffuse responsibility from themselves. So now he's writing about how do you reintegrate justice into the DNA of your church. So this can obviously be a part of our longer conversation moving forward. But I would also just, those thoughts came up from Ruby's journey about pointing you towards the resource of Good News About Injustice. I would at this time like to pass everything over to Brian and Angela Woe. They have joined me on this team of looking at the Church Collaborative and are so grateful for, I know we've kind of built the reason why we feel like this is important and how we might move forward, but these are the actual tangible on-the-ground things we'd like to consider for the next year together. So, Angela and Brian, thanks for all the work you put into this.
Do you want me to sit down?
No, we've decided to share the mic, so we'll see how that goes. You've heard Mark say that, and we're excited that what God might do with this weekend, but we don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. At the same time, we don't want to send you away with just a cloud of collaborative intangibles. So you received a handout, because no breakout is complete without a handout. And we want to give you some ideas of how this might begin to have some structure around moving forward. And so if you look at the white square on the left side of your sheet, commitment of the collaborative. Betty Ann talked about how we want to have this rhythm of action, reflection, action, so that we're not just doing things and burning out, but we're also not just sitting in our rooms without doing anything. And so we hope that's reflected here. The first thing that's going to happen, if you've filled out the little card that was on your seat, and there will be people at lunch to collect them, and there's a bowl up here you can put them in, is you'll receive an email to take you to an online survey so we can begin the dialogue with one another, create a database of people that we can talk together about and understand more of where everybody is coming from. That'll come out in the next week or so, and that'll be one of the first things that we can do together as a collaborative.
The next thing we'd like to invite you all to come to is a follow-up meeting. This was just to whet your appetite to see what it could really be like. We know that we're only touching just this much. We have a lot more speakers and a lot more stories and a lot more resources that we'd like to share and also have you all contribute as well. So there's a couple of meetings we have on the calendar. The dates are set Monday, February 7th and Wednesday, February 9th. We want to continue this dialogue. They're face-to-face. Location is TBD. We'd like to have them in two different areas or regions so that, you know, you can attend one of them. You don't have to attend both. So if there's any churches or any facilities that is interested in hosting these meetings, please come see one of us afterwards.
The next point is that we want to have some sort of quarterly event. And Betty Ann mentioned before that we'd like those to move around the Bay Area as well into four different regions so that they're not only different areas, but that so we have some face-to-face contact. We know in our age, in this day and age, we can do a lot of virtual interaction, and we'd like to be able to do both because we think they're both important. And so we'll talk about some of those ideas in a minute.
All right. The last thing that's an ongoing daily thing that we can participate with and contribute to is this idea of an online community. It's still being thought out and still being developed. If you have ideas, let us know. It'll be probably an offshoot, a login section off of the Freedom Summit, summit.org site. But what a great opportunity to share resources, to continue this dialogue, this conversation. Bring your dreams, bring your ideas, bring your resources. We'll post events. People can post, you know, worship orders or flyers or sermon ideas or even Bible studies. It'll be a great resource for churches of all sizes, not just the larger churches, but also church plants and smaller churches that really have a need for this network and this resource.
And then that section that says proposed vision trips, I'm just going to point out three of those things because these are all just ideas that are very in the formative stage. The first one is Ruby mentioned SAGE, and we think we could take a trip up to San Francisco together to interact with them and find out more about what they're doing, kind of be on the ground with them. The second one, you heard in the plenary session this morning about the recent raid just here in the East Bay, and if we could work with some of the local police and authorities to find out more about what's going on and kind of do a field trip that way, that could be another one of the field trips. You can read the other ones on your own. The one at the very bottom says Cambodia trip. If you haven't heard of Chab Dai, we just learned about it this week, but it's an amazing model of a collaborative in Cambodia of over 40 organizations that are working together to support each other and expand the fight against sexual exploitation and trafficking in Cambodia. And the idea of taking this collaborative group to go to Cambodia and learn how they are working collaboratively, I think, is just a really exciting opportunity. And so that's something we can be looking forward to maybe a year from now as a possibility of a really serious vision trip where we could do some good learning. And before we move on, I'm going to introduce Derry Calais, who's going to share a little bit about the whole idea of vision trips. So, Derry, coming up.
Okay, well, I don't get often to speak into one of these, so it's a new experience. And the idea of the vision trip is really a couple of people who are speakers. I know that Edward talked about this, about the idea of from the heart and the cementing of God's word in your heart to go out and practice with your hands and come back and re-cement it into your heart. And that's the whole thing about the vision trip. It's like that's the way we stay with it. For those of you who are more in my age category, in 50s-ish, we had to stay here and keep the fight going from when we were young. And so for those who are a little bit younger, you know, you have to remember why. And that's the idea of the vision trip. So here's some proposed ideas that have been listed. But the whole thing is about renewing your mind, informing yourself, experiencing the information, coming back and reevaluating it, and integrating it into your God framework, and then reshaping what you do. So that's kind of like the cool words of a vision trip. How it works is we come, we study, we learn about biblical justice, not just social justice, because it's a little different, because it says God's very specific about justice and equality and fairness. He's very specific in throughout the Old and New Testament, and we all know this because I know y'all are pastors, or a lot of you are. So one of the things is that we relearn that we hold it in our hearts. We have some time for some exercises like that. Then we get information from an organization who is out, not necessarily a Christian organization, but an organization who is fighting, being an advocate. We also hear from the victims, and as a number of people, like Ruby said it so wonderfully, we have to remember the stories, because that's also what keeps us planted. We go out and we work. We see what is it like in the underworld or out on the street, and we help. So we get an idea of both the victim and the advocacy that happens. We come back and as a group, and in first small groups and as a larger group, you know, sum it up. What does this mean? How can I take this back out to the people that I shepherd and really keep your heart close? Because that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to keep inside of us so that we go out on a daily basis and do God's work from His eye. So that's the vision trip. Again, specifics, if you have ideas, we'll do it a lot of different ways. And this is only the first step in a really fun journey. Hard, but fun.
Thank you, Derry. We're really excited about the potential of a collaborative because in our journey, Angela and myself, we had been until recently at Grace Community Covenant Church in Palo Alto for 12 years. And as associate pastor, I had moved from doing worship ministries mostly to the local and global missions partnerships and events at our church. And in the past few years, up to maybe even 3 years ago, we were pretty clueless about the issues of compassion and justice that we were surrounded by. And God's taken us on this journey deeper into His heart of compassion and justice. And we've kind of brought the church along, both into local issues and global issues. And trafficking has been a huge part of that journey. And it started out from the first time we saw a call and response a few years ago, which led us to go to the Freedom Summit 2 years ago, the first one. And then more recently, a couple of trips to Thailand as a whole family and with people from our church in the past year and a half. And so we're at this point playing with this idea of being involved as mobilizers, where we catalyze people out of their comfort zones and to help them cultivate this sense of holy dissatisfaction with the way that things are. And that's something that God has done in us, we've begun to do in people around us, but we feel like there are opportunities through a collaborative where we can kind of nudge people out of the comfort zones into mission. And sometimes it's pulling firmly, sometimes it's kicking, and sometimes it's kind of nudging. But we're usually going with them into the places where God's heart is really breaking for the world around them. And it may be local, maybe global. It may be people in the church, but we think also people outside of the church can come alongside. As we've seen here in the Freedom Summit, not every organization here is faith-based. And people who even aren't in the church are anxious to become a part of something bigger and do something significant. So we think of the collaborative can really help share resources. You've heard of what some of the churches have done, and maybe some of those things excite you and you'd like to do those at your church, or gives you ideas of things that you could take those and jump off and do other things with. So as we can create partnerships, and especially resource churches that are smaller that don't have the resources and opportunities of some of the bigger churches, there's a lot of power in us coming together. And I think as a collaborative, we can even help articulate a framework, a theological framework for how to approach biblical justice and human trafficking. So we want to stop kind of talking at you and actually begin to collaborate. So we don't have that much time, but if you came in earlier, you notice that we have four geographical sections. This corner of the room, South Bay, back there, East Bay, San Francisco, North Bay combined over there, and Peninsula over here. So in a moment, I'm going to have you shift, if possible. We're kind of full, but into these four groups. And what we want to do is begin brainstorming. I'm going to have Angela come back and ask and tell you what we want you to do. And we're only going to have, like, maybe 7 minutes to do this. And then we're going to wrap back up and close out into lunch.
All right, so pay really close attention. So this whole weekend you've been hearing a lot about 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 months. And you probably have a list, you know, that you're writing down everything that you can do personally or as your church. Well, we want to take that one step further as part of this collaborative, is what can we do? We're going to take some time to brainstorm and figure out what are those things that we can do as a collaborative, as a whole, as a community, as a faith-based community here. Instead of just talking about it and sitting and talking at you guys about it, we want all of us to participate and come up with those ideas. We know time is limited. Again, this is to whet your appetite for what's more to come. But we're going to come and ask that each geographic region come up with one idea. It could be a 10-minute idea. It could be a 10 days or 10 months. And I'd like to throw in even 10 weeks, if possible, so that we can maybe see some things happening sooner. So think about, from a collaborative standpoint, with people in your region, geographic region, you know, what's that one idea? Just brainstorm it, put out there. We promise we won't hold you accountable that you have to execute on it right away. Right away, that is. That's later. So if you don't mind, take the time now. Let's break into our groups. We're going to have some facilitators and note takers, and we'd like to come back and share what that one maybe big idea will be as a collaborative. So again, South Bay is here. So you can take your chairs, turn it around, look at each other. It's hard to collaborate when you're looking at somebody's head. Yes. Where your ministries are. Ministries.
Yep. There is the thing. All right.
You know what? You could probably grab go outside. Yeah. Or move out the door.
You want to take a group outside? Take one in here?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Endpoint. It's not a goal. Today is the launching pad. And so we're actually going to continue these into lunch if you can stay also. Decided to give you guys more time in the small groups because we were going to report back together as a large group, but we've got note takers, I think, in all the groups. Except I'm not sure, did this group have someone that could take notes? Okay, so we'll get debriefed from them later. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to get ready for lunch, which means I know some of you might have to meet other folks from your church for lunch. That's fine. You can leave, but we're going to grab sandwiches and sit back down in these groups. And Betty Ann's going to introduce, once everybody sits back down, some of the speakers are going to come in to join us. Because what we want you to do when you're in the groups is to talk about, you can continue these conversations, but also maybe you want to share about some of the barriers and hindrances that stop you in your efforts to join the movement to fight human trafficking. And hopefully some of the speakers who are joining us can be a resource and provide some solutions. And again, we'll have people taking notes so that we can take some of these conversations with us into further dialogue as we do follow-up meetings and things like that. We will stop the discussions at 1:15 to make sure people can get to their next breakouts. But in the meantime, Derry has something. Yes. These are two different cards?
They're two different cards. One's a justice advocacy training, so if one of you is involved with IJM, there'll be a training after the 11-to-1 advocacy training. So we really encourage all of you to send, you know, a representative from your church so that you can find out. It's a great way to keep this issue alive. It's very specific. People know about electoral politics.
One other idea we want to leave you with is Freedom Sunday. There's another card coming around about Freedom Sunday. Another something thing that your church might be able to jump on board with.
Folks, real quick, before we split, want to point out one thing what Derry's mentioning is we are giving you a couple things that we already know are on the docket. in terms of trying to have churches here in the Bay Area be on board for Freedom Sunday or for the TVPA training. But here's one way in which we've broken down the issue that might help at your church. We have said that there is a group that's very interested in policy change. There's also another group that says, I just want to help victims. I want to be a tutor. I want to maybe be at the house and meet them, hear their stories. So we've kind of called that victim services. Some people are trying to work on getting aftercare homes and whatnot. And the other one is really about raising awareness. Maybe this is your high school group hosting a showing of call and response. But it's an easy way to say, hey, we may have one person in our church that's real interested in this or this or this. Or you could decide to say, we're just going to shoot for this. So as we give you opportunities that are available out there, we really want you to know that people may come to you and say, I just want to fight human trafficking. And it really helps to start thinking of things as breaking the issue down this way, because this is really about still raising awareness among folks. This is about really how do I either do a walk for Stop Human Trafficking Now, Child Trafficking Now, or the TVPA, and other things we'll mention fall under victim services and aftercare. So that's one way to think about it, so that way you can kind of meet the needs in your individual congregation. The other thing is that there are certain churches that we know of that have already decided, like, hey, we're going to be with this one group or we're going to do this one thing. And we want you to feel like you can learn from those folks where they're at. But also know it doesn't mean we're promoting one organization over another. We're going to provide you with a cadre of folks. So as we break for lunch, I just real quickly would like to say David Batstone has been so kind to join us, and he is here. We will be having Brad Miles join us from Polaris, but in the meantime, John Vanek is coming right now. So you can tell that this is where we were thrilled of where the conference is going to go from here. So we pulled in all of our major speakers and said, this is where you need to eat lunch. So we are going to send them to the different groups, but if you don't mind, we're going to try and make it pretty quick of coming up and grabbing your lunch selection, and then we'll join back in these same groups.